สวัสดีครับยินดีต้อนรับเข้าสู่รายการเข้าวินสวัสดีครับก็กลับมาพบกับรายการเข้าวินในเอพิโซดที่37นะครับถ้าได้เห็นไตเติลในเพจหรือว่าใน YouTube ก็คงจะทราบว่าจริงๆแล้วเอพิโซดนี้เป็นเอพิโซดที่น่าสนใจมากๆทีเดียวนะครับแล้วก็แขกรับเชิญท่านนี้ก็ผมเชื่อว่าทุกคนในวงการวิ่งหรือว่าวงการ Endurance Sport ก็น่าจะทราบถึงแขกรับเชิญท่านนี้ว่าเป็นใครนะครับก็ผู้ซึ่งถือครองสถิติมาราธอนประเทศไทยณปัจจุบันอยู่นะครับก็คือโทนี่เพนก่อนที่จะเข้าสู่เอพิโซดนะครับการสัมภาษณ์การพูดคุยก็คงต้องแจ้งให้ทราบก่อนนะครับว่าในพอดแคสต์เราจะคุยกันเป็นภาษาอังกฤษหรือว่ารอไฟล์นะครับก็คือไม่ได้มีซับไตเติ้ลหรือการแปลอะไรแต่ว่าถ้าต้องการซับไตเติลนะครับเข้าไปดูได้ใน YouTube ในเพจ Learn and Run นะครับเพราะว่าผมอัดเองนะครับสัมภาษณ์เองตัดต่อเองแล้วก็ใส่ซับไตเติลเองเพราะฉะนั้นก็จะใช้เวลานานนิดหนึ่งนะครับก็ขออภัยมาณที่นี้ถ้าอยากฟังในเอพิโซดนี้ในรูปแบบของพอดแคสต์ก็ถือว่าเป็นการฝึกภาษาแล้วกันนะครับฝึกกับโทนี่นะครับอาจจะฝึกกับผมอาจจะได้สำเนียงแปลกๆไปนะครับก็สำหรับผมก็เพียงพอสำหรับการสื่อสารนะครับก็เพื่อไม่ให้การเสียเวลาก็เชิญพบกับโทนี่เพนได้เลยครับ
Hi Tony.
How's it going?
Pretty good. Welcome to our show. I guess if you're a fan of this show, you probably know who you are. But just for the sake of it, just can you let our audience and our listeners show who you are, please?
Yes, I'm Tony Payne. I'm a member of the Thai national athletics team. I'm themarathon national record holder for Thailand. My PB is 2 hours and 16 minutes right now. Currently living in the UK and currently on lockdown like many of us are at the moment.
Which part of UK?
London.
Wow. London. Okay. All right. So...as we recording the show, we are still on hopefully on the latter part of the pandemic. So before we hit this pandemic, what was your training, racing, and you know anything prior to, I would say, what, March or April 2020?
Yeah, so- right.For me, at the end of last year, I was unfortunate to have quite a serious Achilles tendon injury, which I was unable to finish the SEA Games, which was very disappointing. So I was trying to recover from that injury and try to make a last...ditch effort to try to qualify for Tokyo. So mm-hmm. my plan was to go to Kenya, to go to E10 for an altitude training camp and try to run a qualifying time in May for Tokyo. But of course, everything changed within about 2 or 3 weeks and everything was cancelled. Couldn't fly anywhere. And then, of course, Tokyo has been postponed until next year. So the new plan was just to stay stay in London and just do my training from home.
Well, but if you were able to go and fly to Eton, you're probably stuck over there.
That's right. And they made the rules that you couldn't train with anyone. You would have to just train on your own. Oh. And the medical facilities aren't that great. It's a very small village there. Yeah. So you don't want to put... It was the sensible decision to stay behind. And of course, there's no racing. Everything's been cancelled anyway, so there's no point going now.
You've been over there, right? Have you been over
there? No, I haven't been to Kenya. I've spent a bit of time doing some altitude training in Colorado.
Colorado, yeah.
And that's the only real altitude stints I've done are in Colorado Springs, which is it's nowhere near as high as E10. It's good. It's good training facilities there. But no, I was really looking forward to going to E10, not only for the training, but just to get, you know, it's like the running mecca. You want to see the culture.
As
a running fan as well as an athlete. So it was disappointing not to be able to go, but hopefully sometime in the future I can do that.
Yeah, it's just like a football fan in Thailand. I mean, if you want to go at the end one day of your life, you want to go to UK to see a mecca of football. You know.
I'm very lucky in the UK. To have that,
have
the football there as well. But yeah, it's true. It's like it's something I'll do one day because there's that mystique around the African runners, and to see how they do things every day would be really good.
I know I'm probably not gonna put you on the spot, but you know, if let me know if you want me to cut this part out, but. Colorado Spring, they have a. Have you been into a Olympic training center?
No, I didn't use the US training facilities there. I've got a friend who has a house, a New Zealand friend who has a house in Manitou Springs, which is about 15 minutes drive from Colorado Springs.
Mm-hmm.
But we trained with the American Distance Project guys, so the army based Kenyan athletes.
Yeah.
So they include Paul Chelimo, who has Olympic medal, world champs medal. So I was training with his group, which was really cool because they're amazing athletes. But no, we didn't use the facilities, the US facilities there.
It will be interesting if our authority can kind of request. It would be nice too, you know. I mean, they might have a program to help.
Possibly.
Contact them in the national, if in our national authority contact them in their behalf, on your behalf.
Yeah, it's honestly something I didn't even think about. I guess, like as a distance runner, the facilities that I need are mainly the world, just running on the nice trails, and being outside. The other stuff,
good food, nutrition, good. I've been there three times on Olympic Center, training center, and that's the best salad facility at altitude. And that's a lot of stuff. It's just that they have a full time, and also I know they have different national athlete coming in and use the facility and be some full time for a couple months before a major event. I know my friend coach in Brazil, who is a scientist for Brazil national team for a triathlon, and he usually bring his team and ask for permission to use for like a month before main event that they really aim for. So that's one thing that you could look into, that, you know, if they can help, that's always worth asking, right?
Yeah, it's something I should maybe look at in the future, but yeah, the future's all a bit uncertain at the moment anyway.
Yeah, true. So so you got heartbroken by Eton, also from SEA Games. So how about your injury? How is it? How is treating
you? It's good now. It was like, we're looking back, it was I had some imaging done, MRI, and it was pretty bad, but no surgery or anything required, just to it just needed rest and strengthening. But yeah, SEA Games, I was given the all clear that I could run, or at least try to run, and I thought I maybe would have been able to, being honest, probably not win, but still get a medal, because of the injury. But yeah, it was just too difficult to run. It was so painful. But since after SEA Games, I was able to recover. It was about 3 months to be able to run back to 100% training. Things are all good now. I've got some slight niggles, and it's quite annoying. Some slight injuries at the moment. It's quite annoying because we're not allowed to see any physiotherapists or physical therapists at the moment.
Yeah.
But hopefully things will open up soon. I'll be able to get some treatment.
Okay. So it just, you didn't have to have any major surgery or anything, right?
No. It was the tendon had just become damaged from, I guess, just maybe excessive loading to the tendon. Also had a slight calf tear as well. So it was pretty damaged, but it just with rest and strengthening the areas that needed to be strengthened to prevent it happening again.
Okay. Well, that's a good news then. I mean, that's the good that we can take out of the bad, I guess, during this pandemic, that you were able to fully heal. And
it's true, 100%. For me, having more time is good, because the injury, I did miss a lot of running. I was doing cross training, but there's no substitute for running for a marathon runner. So time is good, and having more time to train means I can look to work on my speed rather than endurance for a while before I go back into a marathon type training again. So I'm doing more 10K type training at the moment, which is good.
Okay. So you give time to catch up with everybody, so you didn't miss out anything. That's one thing,
yeah,
too,
hopefully.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, anything has been passed prior to COVID-19 that we didn't know, aside from your injury and training and all this stuff?
What do you mean? Like,
anything else that happened that you didn't mention?
Not really. Like, it was. Yeah, the plan was just to try to qualify for Tokyo, and everything was like geared towards that. But with COVID, yeah, things became a little bit difficult to train, because we had restrictions on how many times. We were only allowed to train once per day outside. All the facilities are closed. Compared to the other Southeast Asian athletes, like, and in the Philippines, you're not allowed to go outside at all.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, it's and same with Italy and other athletes. So it made sense to postpone the Olympics because it was just impossible for everyone to train.
Okay, this is a question, I guess, that a lot of people wanted to know since you bring it up. How's the qualification for Olympics is going to handle since they're going to push it to next year? I used to have a hope to qualify for, since, you know, hopefully this will be done in a month or so, that we could see some race coming up. But, you know, at worst case scenario, let's say everything start to coming back at the end of the year and Tokyo is still another 10 months away. I mean, do you hear anything on athlete path?
Well, being honest, like, I'm quite pessimistic about racing coming back, because it seems to me that the last type of event is which governments were allowed to continue, like mass participation running events. We have thousands of people crammed all together on a start line and all breathing on each other, and like, it seems like that will be the last thing to come back. So I'm quite nervous that that any big marathons anyway will be held at all this year, and maybe into next year without a vaccine. But I can't worry about that. I need to just put myself in the best position. At least with the hope that racing will continue. But yeah, it's out of my control. I can only control what I can control. So
yeah,
I don't lose any sleep about it.
But also one thing, I mean, it could happen for elite and sub-elite, if you know what I mean.
That could be a solution.
Yeah.
That could be a solution for some marathons to be held. But again, it's like the economics of holding a marathon. It's like all the prize money comes from the entry fees. Well, it's entry fees and sponsors. So I don't know how many marathons will be held on the basis that only elite runners will be running. But I'll see. There'll be I'm sure there'll be options somewhere where I can try to run fast. Whether it be what country has the restrictions which are lessened compared to others. But yeah, it's all fluid at the moment, and I'm just waiting to see so I can make a plan.
Okay, that's good. So how was your training? I know you kind of touched a little bit that you have to go out. You were able to go out once a week, but that's kind of like a latter stage of this, knock on wood, you know.
Yeah.
How about prior to that, when everything was peak?
Yeah, it was even at the peak, we're still allowed to train.
Really?
Like in the UK, the UK were quite liberal in their restrictions. You're still allowed to train outside. You weren't, no running tracks, no gym. Like all the facilities were shut, but you're still allowed to go for a run.
Uh-huh. That's nice.
Outside. So it didn't have that much of an impact on my ability to stay fit, but I couldn't do my full proper training because I try to train twice a day, so I could only train once outside. So I started doing some biking on the trainer inside, and with my gym clothes, I've just been improvising with weights that I can use at home, and just trying to do everything at home.
Wear a hat, put a sunglass on, and say that I'm Tony Payne II. This is my twins. My brother ran this morning. I ran in the afternoon.
Pretty much. Like it was tempting to run twice, because it's like, well, who's gonna know if you're running twice? But like, it's, you know, it's a serious because well, my partner, she works in the healthcare system in the UK, so we're being very strict with following the rules. So just out of you know, it's not a good situation.
Yeah, you might end up sleeping outside the house. I understand.
Yeah, that's right.
Follow the rules, bro. Yeah, okay. So pretty much, I mean, I'm not going to say that there's no impact on your training, but it's a lot less than, especially my athlete who is on the East Coast. I mean, there are no running at all. So it's not that bad, but it's not that good either. But you still can maintain. Yeah.
Relatively, it's been okay for me. I've been quite lucky, and the weather has become a lot nicer. So the training's actually been quite good, and like the parks are almost they're emptier than usual, and in London. So it's been good. It's like the hard thing's probably motivation rather than anything, and planning, and just trying to work out what training to do, because there's no idea when we're going to be able to race again. So it's quite difficult to get yourself out the door when you don't know. To do that hard training session, it's like, well, why am I doing this now when I don't know when the next race will be? So at the moment, I'm just trying to doing a lot less running than usual. Just trying to trying to improve on my 5 and 10K speed. And then when I have an idea of when the next race will be, I will look to start doing marathon training again, but not at the moment.
I think that's kind of things that people struggling is that why I have to do this. I mean, this kind of, you're not alone. I mean, a lot of professional athletes are like, coach, why do we need to train this hard when we don't know when the race is going to happen? I was like, well, I can't answer you that. So in terms of, obviously, at least, I mean, can't deny that you are elite runner for us. What's the good, the bad, and the ugly that you can get from this situation?
Well, for me, like personally, it gave me, I guess, because I had an injury, so it gave me more time to, I guess, not rush my training, and I can do things properly, and gives me a good opportunity to get into better shape and work on, because all the pressure of racing is off now, so I can like work on my weaknesses without, because I've just had like, I've had target marathon after marathon for like 2 years, and I was quite burnt out, and it led to injury. So it gives me more time to have a look and reassess what I'm doing. But yeah, the bad is obviously that there is no racing. Travel restrictions, like, who knows when things are going to come back. But yeah, at the end of the day, it's just sport. We need to get this thing under control. It's the most important thing at the moment.
Okay. All right. So I know it's kind of be impossible, I would say, to kind of ask the next question, but what's your plan and goal? Let's be optimistic. If everything's good next year. Okay. Yeah.
So one thing that is actually quite helpful is that World Athletics, or formerly the IAAF, they said that you can't qualify, any time that you run to qualify doesn't count until the 1st of December. So it's about looking at races from December 1 and what race is the best target. So it gives you a bit of certainty in that you can aim for the end of the year. So realistically, I may have two opportunities to qualify, and I'll look for a race in probably January, possibly Houston, where you are, as an opportunity to run, and then maybe if I don't qualify there, another go in May before the qualifying period ends. So it's all very far in the future at the moment. I've got time.
You might like Houston Marathon. It's going to be like running in the UK. It's either hot, cold, rains. I ran one time and it's like it started out so cold that bad, and then after the race midway it's raining so hard, and then at the finish line it's so hot I had to strip everything off. It's like, oh my god, what race is this?
I've watched Houston a few times just on the live stream, and it's very different weather every year.
It's unpredictable.
Yeah, but that's good. Yeah. Like, because one way to qualify, you can either qualify by time, and running 2:11:30, or if you finish top five in a gold label race like Houston, that's another way to qualify. So unpredictable weather makes it more likely that there'll be more variance in the results. Mm-hmm. So people will make mistakes, and it's more chance to finish in the top five. So it's okay.
And usually Houston Marathon is not like the big race that people are peaking.
Yeah, correct.
It's kind of like January, just coming out, still winter. So it's kind of like, take the rust out of athlete. So
yeah, it's traditionally not that strong.
Yeah, true.
But it's fast. Yeah. And I'd love to. I haven't raced a marathon in the US, so that would be quite a cool thing to do as well. Because I think the US they look after the elite athletes very well, and the support on the course in the US is very strong. So it would be good to give that a go.
Yeah, you mentioned about gold label, but we have also a gold label marathon in Thailand right now.
It's the
Bang San 42.
Bang San is the half marathon's gold label, I think.
But you're right. 21.
That P. Wright is looking at making the marathon gold label one day.
Yeah, yeah. I forgot about it. Sorry, U.S. Olympic trial qualify, they take both half marathon and marathon time. Yes, so I kind of confused with Olympic trial itself.
So what could happen, and if Bang San marathon is gold label, there'll be an opportunity for Thai athlete to qualify for the Olympics in Thailand. That'll be amazing.
Because one thing is within the vicinity of New York Marathon. Right? Usually it's around that time period.
Yeah, that's right.
So a lot of big names are gearing towards the bigger purse, so you will have less, you have a wider opportunity to become top five.
And the weather is, it's hot and
hilly.
It's hilly course, so it's like a, honestly, it could present a really good opportunity for Thai athlete in the future.
Yeah, so I would say if you're aiming for Houston, maybe going back and training in Thailand in the latter part of the year might benefit you. What do you think?
It could be like heat training is... you get big benefit from heat training.
I mean, you get, obviously you have more plasma.
That's right.
You will kind of dehydrate slower, and then you know you get faster of a heat acclimatization if you
train in that's time. True. I don't know my plan yet, but it's possible that some heat training beforehand might be the right approach.
Yeah, and you know, I know Kaoyai is not that high. The altitude is not high, but it's higher than Houston. We are literally sea level.
Yeah.
So being in Kaoyai might help. I mean,
yeah,
it's hot.
Possibly.
You know, the
weather. You get like the best. You get both the heat and the a bit of altitude as well, which could be
Yeah. I mean, who knows? You know.
Yeah.
I think at that time of the year, I would say this is May, when we talk. So that's another 6 months. Anything could happen. I mean, I don't think all athletes are motivated and have a goal set. So, you know, Houston Marathon could be a good opportunity for you, I would say.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, Olympics obviously is your goal for next year.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else that kind of like on your bucket list for a marathon?
Well, I've got a few goals. Like I'd like, hopefully, to run a 10K sometime in the near future, and to try to break. We'll run 29 minutes something for 10K, which will give me good speed for the marathon. And I'd really like to run to qualify for the Olympics. I need to run quite a big new PB for the marathon, but I think that there'll be a new national record. I'd be very proud if I can get it down by a few minutes, because when I ran the national record 2 years ago, the weather wasn't very good either.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in the right weather conditions and I'm a bit stronger, I can take a few minutes off. It'd be great.
Well, just to let our audience know, we have a good chat before we recording this. And one thing he said, and I kind of say no right away, is that he's old. I was like, oh, no, I Kipchoge, he broke a world record at what, 37, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
right?
That's true.
So, you know, I'm not telling that you are Kipchoge, but you are in a sense of age, you know. I mean, you just new on the marathon course. So you have
the marathon. Yeah, you're right. Like the marathon is a lucky that you can be very good for a long time. The marathon, I think you build that strength every year. You can build layer upon layer. And if you might lose a little bit of your top end speed, but you know, it's a strength gain, you know.
So, I mean, whoever come into this show, I mean, and to be able to do that is the pride of the nation. It's not Tony Payne names, it's the pride of the nation. So, and one thing that we talk is that it's not him alone that could do that. It's a lot of support from different authority, you know, race and all this stuff that can help break the national record. This going to be a big 6-7 years from now, you know. Who knows, you'll be 2 with 1 digit, you know. I really hope that's going to happen.
Well, maybe like it's look to improve every year, and hopefully, like if I run, you know, if I take a few minutes off my time, like I'd love someone, another Thai person to break my record and raise the level for Thai running, because I'm talented and I'm good, but I'm not at a level where anywhere near winning an Olympic medal. And like, I'm just kind of hope just to raise the bar for the next person, the next Thai runner. And hopefully growing up in Thailand would be great if it could be a local runner to push through to the next level. But I just do the best that I can and try to inspire people to hopefully take the torch one day.
Yeah, I mean, trust me, a lot of people are having you as a role model, you know, that I want to be like Tony. So that's a great inspiration for a lot of road runners. So I don't think the people at our age are going to be at your level now. Obviously, it takes more than 2 years to become elite runners. You know, it takes a lifetime, but maybe the next generation of kids or, you know, whoever is on the peak at the short distance right now might follow your footsteps, you know. But I still hope, and I know, I believe that at another 6 year, we will see single digits on after your 2:02-09.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean,
7 minutes. Let's aim for a minute a year. Why not, right? I mean,
my first marathon, I ran 2:28.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, when was that? 7 years ago.
Okay.
We've improved by 12 minutes in 7 years, so we can keep chipping away.
Yeah, true. I mean, usually you still have that gain from top end speed. This is from a coaching perspective that at 31, 32, you still have that top end speed that you can gain in the short distance. You start see a lot of decline at 34, 35, that it's going to be stagnant. Mm-hmm. So being, like you said, 10K, 5K training right now, I think you'll be surprised what's going to affect on your marathon time, I believe.
Yeah, I hope so. That's the plan, because I'm not being forced to run another marathon in the near future. So to try to work on that shorter speed to hopefully bring that marathon time down is, I think, the right approach.
Okay. So who are you working with right now in terms of training?
Ultimately self-coach. I make the decisions around my training plan, but I have like a network of people who I speak to.
Okay.
My former coach and more mentor now, Craig Motley, he's a New Zealander. He's a former New Zealand selector for the national team. He's worked with me since I was 20 years old. So we've been together for like over 10 years now.
Wow.
But now more of a mentor role, and I run my training by him. But I speak to other professional athletes from that I've met throughout the years, and I talk to them about training. And there's a group is in London that I train with. There's a couple of coaches. We have a training session once a week, like interval, about 8K of interval training, and they just split it up. Like it's just breaking it up in a way that's interesting. And so I work with that group and try to be flexible because the group is so good. So it helps. We help push each other to try to work together. So to summarize, yeah, I make the ultimate decisions with my training, but I speak to a lot of people about what they're doing.
Again, it might just throw you under the bus, but we can take it off if you want. But are you preferably to have a coach, or are you happier where you are?
No, I'm happy where I am, because when I first started working, trying to do my own training, it was a big part of it is because I used to work long hours as a lawyer, so then I need to be really flexible with my training plan to try to fit in when I had time. Mm-hmm. And I found that I enjoyed the challenge of setting my own program and being ultimately accountable to myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I've really enjoyed the process of learning the approaches that work for me to run. Like, it's, I'm not doing it all on my own. I do speak to people, but I do prefer it this way. But again, the problem, I find the problem, the biggest risk with being self-coached is that sometimes you don't know that you're pushing it a little bit too hard. Mm-hmm. And you get a bit too, you need someone who can look objectively at your training and your performance to say, hey, should make these little tweaks. So that's the weakness, but I think it works. It does work for me.
That's good, because a lot of people, especially on the elite level, they're like, a lot of people, they just need somebody to push them a little bit. But elite level, just like you said, they like to have somebody to pull you back a little bit, because you guys have that mentality of like, it's my race. So you get, a lot of people have to, elite level has to have somebody to pull you back. It's like, hey, hold on, you know, it's take true. A step back, you know, because you guys strive for the best. So yeah, that's great. I know I didn't tell you this about this next section. So it's called a lightning round. So okay. I'll ask you, and then you just tell us what the answer is. Okay, it's no right or wrong. So don't worry. Okay, let's start. You ready? You ready?
Yeah.
What's your favorite book?
Oh, the best piece of storytelling I've enjoyed was probably The Blind Side by Michael Lewis. It's about I like Michael Lewis, the author. So he told a story about an American football player. American football player. It was made into a film, but I didn't really like the film that much, but the book told a very good story. It's very uplifting, taken in by a family. It's a great piece of storytelling.
Michael Orr, right?
Yeah, Michael Orr made the NFL. It's very good.
Yeah. It's amazing how I was kind of really have a question, is this true? Until I look into it, it's like, man, this is from a real stories.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, it is. So talent, it has to be on the right place, right?
That's right. That's right. Like, for a guy, like, you need talent and you need people to help. Everyone has help to get to where they are.
Yeah, true. Favorite training session?
Session, probably my favorite one is only when I'm fit, but I when we do my big marathon session, we'll do like 5x5 or 6x3K.
Okay.
And then at marathon speed, and you have 1K float recovery between each repetition, but the float is still, it's only like 20 seconds per K slower than the rep. So it's a continuous run. And when that's the session that gets you very strong, that sort of stuff for the marathon. But it's hard, but I enjoy it when I'm fit and rolling, and it gives you confidence for your marathon.
You're a hardcore runner. So what else? The favorite country to live in?
Well, I've kind of jumped around. I'd say I did really love New Zealand because you have, it's a very good lifestyle, but because it's beautiful and it's not too many people. But the UK is probably the answer at the moment where I am now, because London is great for running, and you also have the connection to Europe as well. It's all very close.
No,
so I'll say that's London, incredible. London, UK.
London. Best food, dishes.
I do love Thai food, but being completely honest, my biggest soft spot for food is pizza, and it's not good for too many calories. But maybe my it's probably pizza. That is my soft spot. But my mother's cooking as well. She's a cook in New Zealand. She works at a Thai / Cambodian restaurant in my hometown in New Zealand, and her cooking is very good as well.
Oh, okay. So it's two answers, right?
Yeah.
best vacation spot?
Or I would say I like going to France, because I love the French food and wine.
Oh, okay. What's your best music?
Oh, this is my favorite music is probably, this has changed, but I do love the Beatles.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with that if you're in UK, right?
That's right.
Okay, so there's a top 7 question that we want to know. Any words for the fans?
I'd just like to say that without the support of the fans, it would make running professionally for me impossible. And so I'm very grateful to everyone who supports me. I've got a very loyal fan base, and it honestly helps push me forward and try to do my best for my fans and for Thailand. So it's very thankful. And when people tell me that they do some running because I inspire them, it's very special to me. And I feel like that I'm helping people as well. So it's very much appreciated, all the support that I have.
Okay. So people on Thai fan base can contact you or see you. You have your page, right? Or
yeah, so you can follow me on IG if you just search. It's my handle is Payne Tony, but if you search Tony Payne, I'll show up. And I also have a Facebook page, athlete Facebook page. You can follow me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so all right. I'll make sure that I put everything on my show notes and make sure people can go and harass you and say that, hey, you're my inspiration on your page. So best of luck, and hope this thing over soon. So
yeah,
thank you. We can see
you. Stay safe as well. It's a crazy time, but I think we'll get through it. We'll get through it together, and maybe on the other side, we might think about things a different way, and the world might be for the better, but it's tough at the moment. But we will get through.
Yeah. And hopefully we'll see you in Houston. If everything fall into plan, you know, we might have a live session in Houston.
Yeah, that would be great.
You know,
great to see you in person.
All right. Okay. Thanks a lot for being on our show. And then
no worries. It was a good chat.
Till next time. Bye.
Bye.
ครับก็หวังว่าจะสนุกกับการฝึกภาษานะครับแต่ว่าสิ่งสำคัญจุดหนึ่งที่ได้จากเอพิโซดนี้คือทัศนคติของนักกีฬามืออาชีพโทนี่เป็นนักกีฬาอาชีพ ไม่กี่ท่านนะครับที่ผมรู้สึกว่ามีทัศนคติในการมองในสิ่งที่เขาทำเนี่ยได้ค่อนข้างบวกโดยเฉพาะในจุดที่ว่าเขาต้องการสร้างสแตนดาร์ดสร้างมาตรฐานเพื่อให้คนที่มารับช่วงต่อไปจากเขาเนี่ยจะได้สามารถทำได้ดียิ่งขึ้นกว่าเขานะครับสร้างมาตรฐานให้สูงขึ้นคนรุ่นหลังก็จะสามารถที่จะพัฒนาได้ดีขึ้นครับซึ่งผมมองว่าเขามองหลังจากที่เขาไม่ได้อยู่จุดสูงสุดแล้วแล้วก็หวังว่าจะมีคนมารับช่วงต่อจากเขานะครับสิ่งหนึ่งที่ผมรู้สึกว่าอยากจะฝากไว้สำหรับท่านผู้ฟังนะครับไม่ว่าจะเป็นในทางไหนก็ตามที่ผ่านมาหรือว่ามีเพื่อนๆที่มีความสามารถในการเปลี่ยนแปลงหรือให้ความร่วมมือได้นะครับสนับสนุนส่งเสริมโดยเฉพาะอย่างยิ่งในกีฬาเอนดูแรนซ์สปอร์ตนะครับสิ่งหนึ่งที่ผมค่อนข้างที่จะพอยต์หรือว่าค่อนข้างที่จะโฟกัสในการคุยครั้งนี้ก็คือสิ่งที่โทนี่ทำครับมันไม่ใช่ส่วนหนึ่งก็คือเป็นชื่อเสียงของตัวโทนี่เพนเองแต่ว่าในอีกมุมหนึ่งเขาติดธงไตรลงของเราอยู่ที่หน้าอกเขาแบกความหวังของคนทั้งชาติเอาไว้ไม่ว่าจะเป็นสนามไหนก็ตามนะครับซึ่งความสำเร็จของเขามันก็คือความสำเร็จของประเทศของประเทศเราด้วยเพราะฉะนั้นการผลักดันให้นักกีฬาคนหนึ่งไปถึงจุดสูงสุดได้มันไม่ใช่ความพยายามของคนเดียวมันต้องเป็นความร่วมมือกันทุกภาคส่วนนะครับตัวนักกีฬาเองก็ต้องซ้อมอย่างจริงจังนะครับภาครัฐก็ต้องสนับสนุนและภาคเอกชนเช่นกันนะครับก็ต้องสนับสนุนมันไม่จำเป็นที่จะต้องเป็นในแง่ของสปอนเซอร์หรือว่าในแง่ของชุดหรือว่าอะไรต่างๆก็ตามนะครับแต่มันเป็นเรื่องของหนึ่งอย่างเราไม่สามารถช่วยอื่นได้ก็สามารถที่จะให้กำลังใจได้นะครับหรือว่าในแง่ของเอกชนบางส่วนก็ยังสามารถที่จะสนับสนุนช่วยเหลือในแง่ของอย่างการซ้อมเป็นต้นนะครับว่าเมื่อเขากลับมาไทยหรือว่าถ้าใครมีคอนเนคชั่นต่างชาติที่สามารถเขาสามารถที่จะช่วยได้นะครับสนับสนุนเรื่องการซ้อมการ recovery โภชนาการนะครับผมเชื่อว่ามันทุกภาคส่วนจริงๆที่จะสามารถทำให้คนคนหนึ่งได้สามารถทุบสถิติของประเทศไทยครั้งหนึ่งที่ผมพูดในเอพิโซดไปแล้วก็ผมเชื่ออย่างนั้นจริงๆนะครับว่าอีก7ปีผมเชื่อและคาดหวังที่จะเห็นโทนี่วิ่งมาราธอน2ชั่วโมงละเลขต่ำกว่า2หลักก็คือ2ชั่วโมง9นาที59วินาทีลงมานะครับซึ่งมันก็คือพวกเราทุกคนล่ะครับที่ต้องช่วยกันนะครับก็เช่นเคยนะครับถ้าใครท่านผู้ฟังมีเวลาอยากจะให้รบกวนไปรีวิวนะครับให้เขียนคอมเมนต์ติชมในApple iTunes นะครับใน channel ผมด้วยกด subscribe ใน Spotify นะครับขอบคุณมากๆทุกสัปดาห์ที่เข้าไปเช็คนะครับหลังจากเอพิโซดใหม่ๆถูกปล่อยออกมาการได้เห็นตัวเลข follower เพิ่มขึ้นนะครับเราก็ได้รู้ว่าโอเคสิ่งที่เราทำมันก็แผ่ขยายไปเรื่อยๆนะครับรายการเราไม่มีสปอนเซอร์นะครับเพราะฉะนั้นกำลังใจชั้นดีไม่ใช่อินคัมแต่ว่าเป็นการที่ได้รู้ว่ามีผู้ฟังสนับสนุนเราอยู่โดยการฟังคอนเทนต์ดีๆของเรานะครับกด subscribe ในช่อง YouTube แล้วก็เพจของเราทั้งสองเพจนะครับทั้งเลิศนันรันและลูกขนุน Running by Kuteng มีคำถามส่งมาถามครับเรากำลังจะปล่อยช่วงใหม่นะครับก็คือตอนนี้ปล่อยไปแล้วนะครับในวิดีโอพอดแคสต์แต่ว่าก็จะเอาคอนเทนต์เดียวกันมาปล่อยในช่องพอดแคสต์ปกติด้วยซึ่งเริ่มในวันเสาร์หน้าเป็นต้นไปนะครับเพราะนั้นมันก็จะคอนเทนต์จะดีเลย์นิดนึงนะครับก็เช่นเคยนะครับถ้ามีอะไรติดขัดในกีฬาถามมาแล้วเราจะแค่แงะแล้วแกะมันออกมาเราพบกันใหม่กับรายการเข้าวินสวัสดีครับ